This Sunday, we have one of St. Mark's most intriguing stories. Jesus heals a man who is both deaf and mute. It happened in the region of Tyre and Sidon, which is north of what we call today the land of Israel. This area is tied to what is called the Decapolis, which is Greek for 10 cities, a cluster of cities in that area. Jesus appears to be passing through a Gentile territory as he's proclaiming the word of God. Jesus heals a man who was in desperate straits today, and he speaks to us about our own deafness as well. In our first reading, it prophesies precisely about the kind of miracle that Jesus would perform with the mute and the deaf man. Isaiah 35 is a prophecy of the new exodus for the people of God, a new exodus of the coming of the Lord. And one of the ways that you will know that the new exodus has come is that God is going to perform certain miracles, which includes making the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Isaiah prophesied, "Then the eyes of the blind shall see, and the ears of the deaf be opened. Then the lame shall leap like a stag, and the mute tongue sing for joy." It's not hard then to see the immediate significance of this prophecy in Jesus' actions in our gospel today. The ears of the deaf will hear, and the mute tongue will sing for joy. So why does Jesus put his fingers into the deaf man's ears? Why does he spit and touch his finger to his tongue? He's deliberately fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah 35. He's announcing in a powerful way so that no one will miss the coming of the Lord, the coming of the Messiah. He's enacting in his own person the miracles that Isaiah said God would perform in the new Exodus. He's saying, "I am not just the Messiah, I am the God of Israel who has come to set off a new exodus to save the people from sin and bring them to healing, to bring them to deliverance." In a way, the healing of the deaf and mute man points to something in ourselves. It points to our own difficulty in hearing the message of the gospel as it is proclaimed in our own time. Each of us is in continual need of being healed of our own deafness. Not the physical deafness of the man in Mark's gospel, but a more critical impediment, our faculty for hearing with the ears of our souls. We go through life struggling to hear the word more clearly, because if we cannot hear the word clearly, we cannot proclaim it clearly or live it out well in our daily lives. Learning to listen in this way to what God is saying, and of equal importance, what our neighbors, family members, co-workers, church leaders are saying, is a lifelong discipline. Listening is a critical skill for us as Christians. I was closer to my sister Jan than I was to any of my other four sisters. I loved her dearly, but I must confess that as much as I loved her, my conversations with her were often very difficult for me. She was constantly finishing my sentences. Yes, she did know me very well. She helped raise me. She was older than I am and had observed and interacted with me her whole life. Yet no matter how hard she tried, she still could not read my mind. Yet she constantly finished my sentences, taking me to conclusions and places I had no intention of going. But we all must work on our listening, particularly to our Lord and to his word. Two words pertaining to hearing can help us with this discipline of listening. The words are absurd and obedience. Both words have to do with hearing and listening. The first word, absurd, comes from the Latin roots ab and surdus, absurdus, meaning literally from deafness or completely deaf. Something is absurd when I am deaf to its meaning. To many people in the post-Christian world, the words we will soon declare in our confession of faith, the creed, are simply absurd. They have no meaning for them. And if we're honest, we have to admit that sometimes they sound a little absurd to us as well. The atheist, for presumably sincere and complex reasons, finds absurd the notion of a loving God who, out of love for you and me, would send his Son into the world. Such a person is impeded from hearing the voice of God in the words we proclaim. His or her deafness is as real as that faced by Jesus in our gospel. And what about ourselves? Do the words we recite in the Nicene Creed or the Apostles' Creed seem absurd to us? Sometimes they can. Why? Because they are such huge thoughts. Anyone who is not a little hard of hearing when it comes to the great truths of our faith is perhaps not being totally honest. We are all impeded in our hearing of the Word of God, not because we are insincere or because we do not try, but simply because of the magnitude of the task. We go through life begging Jesus to heal our deafness a little more, to remove a little more of the impediment, to help us to listen and truly hear what God wants us to hear. And how does the cure work for us? Is it done with spitting, with touching, with a loud groan, Ephatha? No, it happens through obedience, the second word that I mentioned before. Obedience also has to do with hearing. The word obedience comes from the Latin roots ob audire, meaning to listen closely or thoroughly. Obedience does not mean something that is imposed on us against our will. It does not mean my way or the highway. It means to listen with the heart, to cultivate such a deep stillness of heart and mind that we hear not only what is being said, but also the Spirit's more subtle whisperings. Obedience means spending time with God in prayer, reflecting on the Scriptures, meditating on the Creed, until we begin to savor the words we repeat so mechanically Sunday after Sunday. Obedience is practicing Lectio Divina, the ancient practice of reading Scripture in a prayerful, reflective manner. It means a disciplined prayer life, the liturgy of the hours, centering prayer, the rosary, adoration before the Blessed Sacrament. All of this is obedience, or listening closely. It's a firm commitment to a life of deep listening. And gradually, over time, in subtle ways, obedience changes us. The life we follow, the gospel teachings we proclaim, the dogma that we declare, these things no longer seem absurd or totally deaf to us. Our deafness is gradually healed. When the gospel speaks of the deaf hearing, it is speaking of all of us who are so spiritually deaf that we can come to Mass on Sunday and cannot remember the gospel that was read by the time we are headed for home. When the gospel refers to the mute speaking, it can refer to us who cannot think of a single thing to say to our neighbor or coworker to move them forward in faith towards God, Jesus Christ, and the Church, though we have been Christians our whole lives. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus can heal the deaf and the mute. May we ask our Lord to remove our spiritual deafness and heal our stopped-up mouths so that we can understand the Word of God proclaimed at Mass and effectively speak the gospel to those who surround us. Then the words of Jesus will come alive in us. He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak.